Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
Welcome to the Raiders Press Pass, your credential to all things silver and black.
You guys not going to be here tomorrow, huh? No? You will be? All right. Well, we'll be here. So we're into Seattle. Had an opportunity just quickly, review a few things from the Denver game this morning with the guys. Since we gave Monday, off, and now we're deep into the preparation for the Seahawks. It's a good football team, and Pete and John have always been able to bring in young players and develop them quickly, put them in there, and they played more young players than any team in the league this year, and they're all making an impact. The tackles, the back, the corners, and the secondary. So, some new faces for us. We don't know this team very well, so our team is hard at work in terms of learning the personnel, the scheme, the challenges that they present in all three phases. And then obviously, going up there and playing in Seattle is it's always a different atmosphere, very challenging place to play. So a lot of hard work ahead of us here.
Are you I think there was an assumption that Seattle's in a rebuild mode, and they're playing for down the road. But obviously Pete's got them playing pretty well. Are you surprised at all about where they are right now?
Not really. Every time I've had a chance to compete against Coach Carroll's teams, they always, number one, they play really hard. Number two, they always have personnel that fits their system and their scheme almost perfectly. Going back years, I've competed against them a number of times. So they do a great job of putting players on the team that fit what they want to do. And so when they change from people that, everybody knows to somebody else that maybe isn't as well known, I don't think they look at it like, oh, man, we got to take 2 steps back. I think they've done a good job of evaluating the players they're putting on the roster, and those players are ready to take over when it's their time. And so I see that again. And can't say enough about what they, what Gino has been able to do. I've competed against him a number of times, too, and I think he's having a fantastic year. Great decisions, accurate with the ball. Completed, higher percentage than anybody in the league, and he's got good players to distribute it to, and just looks in such comfort, knows where he's going with the football all the time, running their offense very well, and their defense, is typical Pete's defense, and after the ball on every play, do a great job of trying to get it off you, ball security is going to be paramount again this week, but their style, the way they play, how aggressive they are. It's really, honestly, it's been the same, every time I've watched them and gotten ready to compete against them, it looks like the same thing.
Is there a decision on Nate Hobbs to designate him?
Yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back working today, and then we obviously would have to make the decision to pull him up at the end.
Josh, can a win slow things down a little bit? When you're losing, guys are trying, but that can almost accelerate. But can it let your head get up, get a breath, and maybe slow down the – not change the process, but slow down people to be able to continue to grow?
I don't know if I'd use that phrasing. I would just say, it reiterates that when we do things the right way, we have enough to have success, And so, still haven't played a perfect game, still haven't coached a perfect game, and there's a lot of things we can do better. But I think it's a great opportunity also to learn when you win. And be critical of the things maybe you could have done better. And I think our team is really starting to respond to that. It tastes a little better when you win, than after you lose a game. So I think our attitude and approach has been great, honestly, regardless of the outcome of the prior game. And I look forward to seeing how our team responds this week.
Josh, kind of an injury question for Colton Miller. What do you have to see for him to be able to get back out there? And then kind of second part of that, Thayer Munford, I'm pretty sure that was the first time he played a full game from start to finish. What do you think about his
performance? Colton, I mean, it's just basically when he's able to roll. You know what I mean? Whenever he's able to do it and not set himself back, then I think he'll be able to be back out there. And again, we'll see how this week goes. You know, it'll be interesting to see how the next few days go for him. I know he's working really hard to get back out there as soon as he can. Thayer, you know, manned the right side, you know, the whole game. And, again, like all young players do, there's a lot of good plays, and then there's some plays to learn from. So I thought he acquitted himself well. I thought he also – there's this chunk of plays where, okay, that's how you're going to get better. You know, you see the result of them. You see what you could have done better from a technique perspective. And then work like hell to, you know, to get it right this week in practice and improve as the season goes. But those reps are huge, you know, to play on the road in a division game against a good team with a good pass rush, you know, physical front, to go out there and do that and, you know, and realize like, okay, I belong here and I just now I have an opportunity to improve myself from that performance. I think Thayer can take a lot from it.
What have you seen from Jakob this year? And I know it's part of your scheme, but what about the fullback entices you to have one and to make it part of what you do?
Yeah, Jakob's an unselfish guy. He's a great teammate. He's physical, tough. You know, we talk about being a tough team, and you know, Jakob adds that element to a physicality to our offense, to our special teams. You know, he's a tireless worker. He'll do anything the team needs. You know, nobody ever talks about the fullback a whole lot, so he doesn't get a lot of glory. But I would, you know, JJ would talk about him a lot, you know, and I think the offensive line would talk about him a lot because of the things that he does. You know, he's kind of an unsung hero in terms of providing opportunities for the backs to run, helping in protection, just doing a lot of the dirty work that fullbacks do, quite honestly, you know. And so I think he just, you know, teams don't really use a fullback much anymore. There's very few teams in the league that we see now that do that, that employ one. So it's kind of like having a different style for the opponent to have to get ready for, you know, in a quick week, you know, and have to learn how to fit two-back runs and deal with those kind of things that I would say generally are becoming kind of outdated in the league. But if you have a good one, you know, and we can be productive in that personnel grouping, I've always been a believer in it, and that's why Yock's here.
Josh, you have talked about dripping water on that special teams rock,
yep,
getting better as the year's gone on. It looks like it's gotten better coverage-wise, mm-hmm, return-wise. What's the challenges of that, you know, from a year-to-year basis when rosters turn over, especially on that part of it?
Yep.
Is it more concepts or personnel? Yep. Just improving as your...
I would say it's the commitment to those players are just as valuable as the players on either side of the ball, offensively or defensively. And so when you make selections in the draft or you sign people in free agency, I mean, a few of the first guys we were able to sign in free agency were Mac Hollins and Brandon Bolden, and immediately you feel like, okay, we're making some progress in the kicking game. And I would say the same thing about, you know, a handful of the guys that we got after the draft, you know, in college free agency is, look, if you put enough effort into it and you put enough commitment, that it's just one of the three. It's not the third, you know. And so, I mean, I don't know how everybody else does it. I just know how we're going to try to do it. And we're going to treat it like it's just as important as anything else, offensively or defensively. And so I hope there's not a big changeover next year. You know, I mean, a lot of the guys that are, you know, I would say helping us improve in the kicking game, you know, Bolton, Luke Masterson, Darian Butler, Amir Abdullah, Brandon Bolden, you know, there's a number of guys that are helping us in that phase. You know, the kickers, the snapper. I mean, you have to make a commitment to that phase of the game being very important, which it obviously is. And so I think the core group of guys, what's interesting and fun for us to see is there's a core group of guys that are starting to, you know, create an identity for themselves. And they have this attitude each week, like, you know, they're excited for the challenge, which is going to be a huge one this week in Seattle. It's a very good, you know, unit there, and they do a great job of coaching it, and they got good specialists and good returners. So I just think that the entire approach towards special teams is it's got to be you got to be consistent with it, and that's what we're going to do.
Josh, on Sunday, you know, Foster and Keelan and Tyler obviously had key plays that helped that win. What's the key, I think, to getting production out of role players and specific spots moving forward?
Yeah, I think, you know, you give them opportunities. And I think you keep doing things in practice that allow them to get more comfortable, you know, when their number's called during the course of a game. You know, we work with all our players every week. It's not just these are the guys that are playing and these are the guys that are on the, you know, the scout team. The scout team guys get coached just as much as the other guys do. And so the point of that is that this is such a league of attrition that eventually those guys are going to end up playing anyway. You know, I mean, that's why they're here. We don't have anybody here that we don't like and don't feel like we could have an opportunity to win with. And so, you know, Tyler's worked really hard in practice. He's given us fits on offense. And so he's earned his opportunity to go in there and compete and play. And, you know, the role guys, whether it's Keelan or Foster or Amir, I mean, they all show up and do things, you know, during the course of the game that help us win, you know. And so, you know, just continue to coach the entire roster, you know, practice squad, guys that happen to be inactive at one point or other. We feel like at some point they're going to be active and we're going to need them. So we put as much time and energy into the 69th player as we do the number one player. And I think those guys were all ready when their number was called on Sunday.
We all know about the sacks you guys had on Sunday and the day Max had, but it seemed like you were getting kind of pressure more consistently on a down-to-down basis. Did you see that, and how do you build on that progress?
Yeah, I thought we did. We executed a few things better in the pass rush, you know, I'd say particularly on third down, that allowed us to create a little bit of pressure there and either force them out of the pocket or in a few cases we got to them. You know, and that, look, that's time on task. That's comfort level with one another. We talked about Jerry last week, and, you know, I hope that's going to get more comfortable this week and then going forward as well. So, you know, just guys being able to go in there and help somebody else get to the middle of the pocket and get to the passer. You know, it's not all just four guys, you know, working on their own, you know. And so there's a lot of detail, a lot of time and effort put into it. You know, and somebody's got to go take one for the team sometimes so somebody else can come free. You know, that's just the nature of pass rush. And, you know, so I thought our guys made some strides there last week.
If anything, are you going to do this week in preparation for the conditions, both the noise level but also the anticipated wet weather?
Yeah, the noise will be the same as we've done, I'd say, with Kansas City and a handful of other places, Denver, where we've, you know, we've had certainly loud music or the airplane runway, you know, where you can't hear anything out there, you know, when we're on offense or in the kicking units. So we'll simulate that same thing. You know, and when you're going from a climate like this, this is my first time doing this. So this is a unique experience where we really haven't had, you know, any wet weather days. And so you're going to potentially play in it. So we'll simulate that as well. You know, I mean, whether that's, you know, ball handling, quarterback center exchanges, the snapping to the specialist, those kind of things, throwing and catching the ball, you know, with a little moisture on it, wet ball, whatever it is, the best we can. I mean, we're not going to have the sprinkler system on while we're practicing, but, you know, we'll do as much as we can to try to simulate some of the things that I think our guys don't have as much repetition at. Look, that's the best we can do right now, unless we go try to find a rainy place and go spend the week there. So, you know, we're going to do everything we can do to prepare for that.
What is it in general that makes it so difficult to play in Seattle, besides like the noise and sometimes weather conditions?
The noise and the weather. Well, and I would say this, the team. I mean, that's, you know, people say, you know, why was it hard to play against some of the great teams in the 70s, 80s? Because they're pretty good, you know what I mean? And I think every time that I've been there, you know, with Pete and even before then, I mean, this has been so well coached, good player, really good players. Combine that with the atmosphere that you're going to play in, which is as noisy as any state. I'd say that in Kansas City, probably as noisy as you get, you know, and then, you know, whatever the weather is, you know, we can't control that. But I think the team, the way they're coached, how well they're coached, how well they perform and do their jobs, you know, and then combine that with the noise level that makes, you know, communication tougher, you know. So that's really what I attribute it to.
You're a guy of process, staying on this game schedule, but when you have a holiday in the middle of your week, and these guys do have families, and you're going to give them some family time.
Yep.
How do you handle that? How do you work that?
Yeah, we, you know, you can always, I think, adjust it a little bit. So the staff did a good job. You know, fortunately, we won, so we were able to do a victory Monday. So the staff got a little further ahead on Monday and Tuesday. And so we'll spend a little bit more time today after we're done with our practice today of actually going ahead and getting ahead for tomorrow, as opposed to what we would normally do, which is just watch the film and then the players could go and then we would come in and restart our day tomorrow. We're going to get a good chunk of that done today. And so they'll come in early tomorrow. We'll meet quickly. I think the atmosphere on Thanksgiving Day has always been great, you know, when you're coaching and playing football. I mean, it's such a national pastime, really, to watch football on this day. But when you actually get to coach it or play it, even if it's just the practice part of it, it just is a great feeling, a lot of energy, you know. So we'll be ahead tomorrow. We'll get them in quick. We'll get out on the practice field much earlier than normal, and then we'll get them out of here and let them, you know, spend the day with their families.
There's no question that Josh Jacobs has earned the carries that you've given him. You talked the other day about, you know, he doesn't want to come out and he just keeps grinding away. But you've got a couple of running backs that you drafted, some younger guys. Do they need game action to develop to where you guys want them to be?
I mean, they're certainly obviously could benefit from action in the games. It's just that, you know, I'm picking my poison. You know what I mean? And I'm having a hard time going away from the guy with the hot hand. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm very happy with the guys behind. You know, they're working really hard. And they again, that's kind of the nature of the position, you know, honestly. And, you know, Seattle's really much the same, you know, with Kenneth. I mean, he's getting the lion's share of the carry now that Penny's out. And it is what it is. You know, running backs kind of, you know, if you got a guy that's pretty special, you know, you let him play and let him do his thing. And when he needs a break, you know, he takes a break. And, again, the JJ wasn't in there the whole time. You know what I mean? Amir was in there plenty. And, you know, it's like I said, there's some of that too. But I just, you know, I'm a little bit, like I said, not hesitant, but I'm just, you know, I'm so happy with what he's doing. And I think he's in such a good rhythm right now that just, you know, let's ride it. And we'll see when he needs a break, he'll let us know.
That just Zamir White, it was the first game he was inactive, mm-hmm. So just purely football there.
Yeah, they just, I mean, he and Britton have been working really hard. And again, it kind of goes to the question about hadn't really got a ton of carries yet. So we gave Britton an opportunity in the kicking game, too. He and Zamir have both been competing in basically very similar roles. That was basically what it was. And, you know, we've stressed that same thing the entire season. So, you know, we're going to continue to let him do that. I think it's healthy for both of them.
So this holiday being ingrained with football, of course, do you have any favorite football memories from Thanksgiving?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I've had a chance to play a couple times on Thanksgiving. You know, fortunately, we won, I think, all of them. So it was, you know, that has always been something that I think, you know, until you do it, until you have a home game on Thanksgiving, you don't really know kind of what it's like. But I've always felt like the stadium, you know, on a Thanksgiving day, there's a lot of people that are really happy to be there and thankful that they have an opportunity to do that. And I just, you know, being able to coach and play football on Thanksgiving, whether it's practices or games, I think it's just a blessing because we're so lucky we get to do this for a living. You know, and our whole country tunes in and wants to watch the games that are on Thanksgiving Day. And, you know, how lucky are we that we get to come here and do this before we actually go get to celebrate the rest of the day with our families. Good to go. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
I'm good. Rob, are you good?
I'm good.
All right, guys, go have a questions.
Derek, when you guys go up-tempo like you did at the end of regulation and overtime, how comfortable are you? And would you like to see that maybe more often during the course of the game?
It's something I've always loved. Maybe it's because that's how I played in college. You know, just playing as fast as possible. You know, there's certain tempos, like in college, like I don't think you need in the NFL, you know. But, you know, playing fast has always been fun for me. And I enjoy it when it's time. And there's a time and a place for it. And I'm not so wise to know when that is. Coaches study those things, and you know he would know better than I do. You know, especially he's looking at the whole team aspect of it. And so, for me, I've always enjoyed it. I've always loved it. So if he ever wants to, I'm always excited. He knows that. You know, I love doing that. I just always think that the mental part, if you can think fast and process fast, then you can have an advantage. But also there's, you know, when you huddle and do things different ways, you can get in different shifts and different kind of things that you can't really do up tempo. So, depends on what you want to do. Yeah.
Is there a level of understanding of the playbook that needs to be there, not just for you, but across the board, to be able to communicate at the line of scrimmage like that?
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. And you would hope that, you know, in OTAs and training camp, you figure those things out, you know. There's been times this year where, you know, coach goes fast and sometimes when we don't. And so I think he feels comfortable when we do. I can't speak for him, but, there's a time and a place for it for sure.
You guys haven't had a bad weather game this year. You might get rain on Sunday. What's the importance for the offense to get some work with a wet ball this week in practice?
Yeah, anytime there's a chance. I mean, I've practiced more wet ball drills than I've played in games, you know. Even if there's a chance, you know, even if it doesn't say it on the radar or, you know, 6 days from now or, you know, whatever it is at that time, you still practice it and get ready for it, you know. So I'm always doing that. You know, this week is no day. Anytime you go to Seattle, you know, places like Seattle, you go to Miami. For some reason in Miami, it always rains during the game at some point. You know, so you always practice those things and get ready for it, you know, just to be ready, you know. But, you know, it's not something that, you know, I do every single week, but it's something that I definitely prepare for ahead of time.
What do you get? Is somebody have a hose out spraying the ball, or is there like a bucket you jump water in?
I have seen a lot of things. I've seen some pretty crazy things happen. You know, but you know, for us, you know, I'll take a water bottle and just make sure I spray it. Spray my hands. Make it as hard as possible. You know, for the receivers, they spray their hands. You know, and we do our drills, and I do it with the center and the running backs and all that. And you want to make it as tough as possible. So then when you get to the game, you're like, oh, it's not even that bad.
Is it more the snap? Is it the getting the ball like to where you want it to be in your hand, or is it the actual throwing? Like, what is the biggest challenge?
You know, it really depends. Sometimes it depends on the football. But really, you know, just making sure the operation, the snap and those kind of things. You know, when you go to throw the ball, you try your best to be as pinpoint as possible, knowing that in that kind of weather it may veer a little bit here and there. But, you make sure the operation of handling the ball, handing it off, you know, all of those things is clean.
Derek, obviously you've thrown a lot of touchdowns to Devontae. However, that touchdown against Broncos, you know, that was the game winner. You know, when you look at your on-the-field memories with Devontae, where does that touchdown rank in terms of kind of your memories of him on the field?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be up there probably the number one, you know, because we did it in the NFL, you know. I think he has 10 touchdowns now in the NFL, you know, with me this year, you know. And, you know, that's something that, you know, we haven't done since college, you know. So there's 9 years of gap there. So definitely that one felt good because it was a win. But I have different fun ones. He caught the career touchdown record breaker at Fresno State, you know, his record breaker at Fresno State. His first touchdown was a slant. You know, there's certain memories that I have, you know, with him, but definitely doing it in the NFL is probably our favorite.
Derek, to set that up, obviously big completions to Keelan on the game's tying drive and then to Foster as well in overtime. I guess big picture, how important is complementary playmaking from guys around Devontae?
Absolutely. You know, it shows, you know, you have to be able to do that, those guys stepping up and making those plays, because it shows teams that, of course, they want to take Devontae away. Of course, everyone wants to do those things. And when they do, you know, they know that they're leaving themselves susceptible to somebody else. And those guys have been making plays. And when they can make plays like that, it doesn't only help Devontae, but it helps our team. You know, it makes playing quarterback a lot easier. That's for sure.
When you have a receiver like that who sees the game so well, the way he thinks through it, how valuable is that for a quarterback?
Oh, it's very valuable. I wouldn't say it's rare, but, you know, the best ones are the ones that can see it like a quarterback, you know. I've played with a lot of receivers in my, you know, 9-year career, and, you know, a lot of smart guys, you know, but Devontae, when, you know, he can see it like a quarterback. I said that about Hunter also. You know, Crabtree was another one. Coop was another one. I'm going to stop naming people before someone gets upset. But, you know, there's guys that come to mind that, you know, I'm like, hey, if they play this coverage, like, yeah, I got it, no problem. You know, it's like you don't have to explain it and the why and the reasoning, you know, they get it. And Tay is one of those guys where, you know, you really don't even have to say anything. You know, he knows the coverage. He knows where I'm trying to put the football. And we're starting to get, you know, on the same page with some of that stuff. We don't even have to talk about certain things. We kind of just know already. And it's showing up in games for us.
So do you know that he's going to run the route that he ran on that touchdown pass? Or was that
on the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 absolutely. You know, it's something that, you know, Coach, you know, drew up, and Tay, you know, put his, you know, own thing on it. And, you know, we had run across the field and hit, a 24-yarder earlier, and he broke to the right on that one, and that's the play coach called. And you got to give Josh credit, give Tay credit, and that, especially the O-line. We wouldn't even be talking about it if it wasn't for them.
Derek, Tariq Woolen for the Seahawks, he's had a good year. Yeah. So far. What's it about set out by him?
You know, when I watch him, obviously at that stadium, the first thing you think is Richard Sherman, and I'm not comparing him to Sherman or anything like that, right now, but just when you turn the tape on, you see a really tall corner. He's physical. He can run, he stays on top, really good football player. And, Sherman is Hall of Fame type player, and he's obviously a rookie, has a long way to go. But when you turn the tape on, he stands out, he's extremely talented, at catching the football. When the ball is in his area, it doesn't look hard for him to make plays on it. He's very talented. Out of his breaks for being that long and to be able to transition the way that he does, very, very impressive. Yeah, absolutely.
What's your go-to food on the Thanksgiving table?
Mashed potatoes. Yeah, my mom, growing up, she used to make everyone mashed potatoes, and then she'd make me my little pot, because that was my favorite thing. So shout out, Mom. Thanks.
What do you avoid?
Oh, any geez. Goodness. I try and avoid the green beans. I eat healthy enough as the season goes on, so I try and avoid them, but my wife won't let me. So,
Derek, were you aware of what Jakob Johnson was all about prior to him getting married? Also, how important has he been, and did you know that he doesn't have a carry in his career?
I didn't know he didn't have a carry. I know he has a touchdown.
On a pass.
Yeah. Yep, I know he had that. We knew about him, and the first thing I knew about him was his toughness, some of the things he's played through and tried to play through and the injuries he's had and coming back. I mean, to still do what he does and at a high level and the violence that he plays with is impressive. He's also another guy that's so valuable to our offense. With having a guy like that, when they respect that, that's why, Tay was able to get open on the first touchdown. Guys biting up on the run and, everyone doing their job, but he's another guy that does that. And I know if y'all talk to him, he's having a little bit of a rough day. The World Cup, so be nice to him today.
Great.
Good. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Yep.
Let's start.
Yep. Go ahead and start.
Monty, that last the touchdown pass in OT, how much of that on the play fake was pre-planned and how much was you saw what Patrick Surtain was doing and you reacted in the moment?
The call was to read what was going on with his leverage and his in the coverage, but it was based on something that we had seen earlier in the day, just kind of marrying the concepts together. And then, if he overplayed it, then it was the idea was to run the route that I ran.
How much do you pride yourself on just being a student of the game, really studying tendencies and that sort of thing?
I mean, that's like 90% of what makes me versus, all the rest of the stuff they talk about. It's a lot of the studying and the anticipation and knowing what's coming and or having an idea of what's coming and then formulating a plan, and then if that plan is not the best, then it's adjusted from there, and then find the best way to do it from based off how they're playing me.
Monty, against Broncos, jump after the first touchdown, grabbed at your head in the game. You seem like you're pretty animated, usually pretty pretty quiet out there. It seems like kind of led to that extra emotion that you had.
Well, I still think that was pretty chill. That wasn't really too crazy. I've gotten up. That was probably about a 4 out of 10. But, sometimes you have a little bit more emotion, especially based off how the season's been going. So to make a big play in a big situation or in the middle of the game at any point is something that, like I talked about, is contagious. So, sometimes having that a little extra energy, most of the time I keep it in and just try to focus on the job's not done type of mentality. But sometimes it's good to show some of that and let it creep out for your teammates and, for yourself too.
Seahawks have a young corner, Tariq Woolen. He's had a really good season so far. What have you seen from him just watching him
tape? Yeah, he looks good on tape. He's a big, much, much taller corner than what's normal in the league. And he's a rookie, and he doesn't look like a rookie at all on tape. So I'm sure it'll be a fun matchup. But, I got respect for what I've seen on tape so far for sure.
Do you think 1 week can carry over into the next? Can you take the momentum of a win like that in Denver? And does that carry over to this week in preparing for Seattle?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, momentum to me is a little bit more than what we have right now. I think that it's definitely a good start, but I think you got to do a little bit more of what we're doing to gain momentum. But I think we're doing the right thing, and obviously we finished out the game. There's a lot of things, we gave them chances that we shouldn't have given them maybe, as far as the offensive side, not capitalizing certain situations, but for the most part, I feel like, you know, as far as finishing that game, like I said, winning takes care of a lot of stuff. So, you know, just the morale. We had a good week of preparation all last week. Came in and, you know, had this same type of day as we did today, a little bit more above the neck. And then, yeah, just got to capitalize on another great week of preparation. I think everybody's got the right mentality and approaching it the same way. And everybody looks hungry. So, you know, we just got to keep that going.
Seems like this offense has been at its best when both you and Josh are getting a lot of opportunities and putting up big numbers. He said that's kind of a product of, he feeds off of you when you do make big plays. Is it kind of the same way when you say the way he's been running, you feed fed off of him this year?
100%. I tell him that at the start of every game. I say, it's me and you all day. You know, we two of the people that are relied on a lot in this, you know, on this team to get this offense going. And we recognize that. We're ready for the burden that comes with it. So, you know, I just remind him, and Josh is a dog. So at the end of the day, it's not nothing that we really need to talk about, but it's something that we like to kind of use as a spark for one another, just kind of, you know, to get it going in the right direction right out the gate.
To follow on that, obviously on Sunday, you guys got key contributions late from Keelan and Foster. Just kind of speaking big picture around what you and Josh are doing, how crucial are those contributions from complementary players around what you guys do?
Well, that's been pretty much the talk of the town. That's what coach has been emphasizing all year is, you know, obviously they're going to show certain coverages to try to take me away. So guys got to step up and make plays. You know, if they want to double, obviously they can't double everybody. So that leaves more opportunities one-on-one or, you know, maybe uncovered opportunities like what Foster had in the middle of the field. So, and, you know, 10 times out of 10, he's going to make you pay. If he's, you know, he's got some space like that, he can run a lot better than what people expect. You know, even when he got the ball, you know, got it in two hands like a fullback, he's still moving down the middle of the field. So, you know, that's basically what we got to do as a team is, you know, if other guys are going to get doubled and, you know, they want to take, you know, Foster away or they want to take Mac away on a fade or something and double him, then, you know, I got to step up or other guys got to kind of do the same thing and play complementary football on that side of football.
You're the first Raider with double-digit receiving touchdowns since Tim Brown in 2000. Then you look at the record books and you're putting your name up there. Does that have a special meaning for you, being somebody that followed the Raiders as a kid?
Well, yeah, for sure. I'm more of a, you know, the look back when it's all said and done type guy, though, you know, whether that's all said and done for the year or, you know, my career. So, you know, we obviously are, I'm doing everything I can to keep the ball moving, and that's where my mind is. And then we'll let the records and, you know, the touchdowns and all that stuff take care of itself. Because, you know, when you focus on that, I feel like you're focusing on the wrong thing. It's not about, you know, getting a crazy number of touchdowns at the end of the year. Obviously, you want that, but if you're thinking about it that way, then you're not going to play the right way, or you're just going to put a lot of pressure on yourself that you don't need. So I just think about being productive and putting together good film. And if I'm doing that, typically that means the ball's going to be on the way and I just got to complete the play. And then, you know, we'll look back when it's all said and done and see where I am in the record books and, you know, those type of things. But just for now, I'm just trying to keep that ball pushing.
That's good. All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks, Will. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Raiders Press Pass. For all things silver and black, download the Raiders app and visit Raiders.com.
The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app TrueConnect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of TrueConnect exclusively for Raider Nation.